I need everyone to do as I'm doing. Raise your right arm for your partner. All right, pointer finger. Do your pointer finger. Now I need you to touch your partner's nose. Okay, take your arm, put it down at your side. And now I need you to spin in a circle. You may all now sit down. Now that you all have it out of your system and no one feels like touching their neighbor's nose, we can begin to talk about salvation. Okay, so here's what I hope you're going to learn. I'm not going to guarantee you are, but hey, at least I tried, right? So what salvation is, a little bit about the verse John 3:16, which I think every single person here that talks today is probably going to hit on this. So I won't beat the bush. I just burn it down. Where salvation originated from, Jesus' role in salvation, your effect in this world, that goes back to your free will, and a little bit about Paul and Silas in the book of Acts. So, starting off, here's a few definitions on salvation. I went animation crazy. Okay. So, deliverance from sin and its consequences, preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss, and God saved us, right? Pretty simple. So, this is a funny little cartoon that I found when you're learning about salvation. So, it says, if you follow the time-proven methods prescribed in this PowerPoint, you too can make it to heaven by the skin of your teeth. Salvation is not a fad diet or any get-rich-quick scheme. Oh, my bad. Quick infomercial message. Get-rich-quick scheme. Okay, so I have something that, yes, that all ties together, even though it doesn't feel like it's going to. Do you remember a guy who was sitting in a crowd and holding up a sign that read John 3:16? Millions of people switched on their TVs to watch the World Cup, the Super Bowl, the Olympic Games, or any other big sporting occasion must surely have seen this guy sitting in the crowd, not holding up a sign that said, "Hello, Mom," as is quite popular, but rather a sign that read John 3:16, right? This is all good, this is clever, and he took full advantage of global broadcasting, right? For free, okay? Cost millions of dollars on Super Bowl Sunday to put a 30-second ad. And he did it for free. It's true, millions saw it, the sign, but how many actually knew what it meant? Probably not very many. So here's something I'm getting a lot of boos for, but some promotion in the public eye. So how many people know who Tim Tebow is? I said this is all gonna tie together. Most people. He did a good job of getting publicly criticized. In his face paint, when he played for the Florida Gators, he'd wear the verse John 3:16, right? He believed so much in spreading the good news about salvation that he was, like I said, he was willing to risk public criticism. He was criticized by everyone, every single person. That guy's a nut. He doesn't belong. He just shouldn't play quarterback. He should be a running back, right? Well, here's something I thought was pretty cool. All this public criticism kind of, sort of paid off in the public eye. This is as per ESPN. So the modern day man made pretty big headlines with these ESPN after his first Super Bowl start. I told you his favorite verse, John 3:16. Well, in his first Super Bowl or playoff game, he threw for 316 yards. In that same game, he averaged 31.6 yards per pass completion. And the last, okay, this isn't a good stat, but it's 31.6. The last quarter, his quarterback rating was 31.6. That kind of seems like a higher power to me. I mean, I could be wrong. I've never seen that happen before. But like I said, it's all going to tie together. So what in the world is this verse, which Hope said last night, who is right there. Thank you. Thank you for saying it. It's, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." So I don't beat around the bush too much. Right? So essentially, what this means in a nutshell, I have a picture because I'm a visual learner. God loves us so much that he sent his own son to die for us, right? So what does it mean? John 3:16, what does it mean? I have the answer up there.
Salvation.
Salvation, right? Okay, that was very enthusiastic. So when we talk about salvation, this is kind of that past, present, future kind of a thing. You know, what God has done, is currently doing,
and will do.
So, I would just like to ask you all a question. This is an interactive question. How many people know where salvation originated? I can come up here and preach about how God died and saved you, but where did it originate from? Why did we need it? Does anybody know where it came from? Have an idea? Think of very, very beginning. Beginning of everything. Does anybody know? Parents? Before that, actually.
The who? The devil. When Lucifer fell, that was when we needed salvation. I hate to break it to you, but the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, he doesn't go prancing around a red pitchfork with a red suit on. He doesn't go, ha, I'm here to make your life more miserable. So, believe it or not, he's the reason that we need salvation. So, he fell from heaven, right? Does anybody know why he fell from heaven? Anybody have an idea? Now, he's the reason why we need salvation.
Sure. Pretty much. That's it in a nutshell. He wanted to be better than God. He said, you know, Satan, here's the biggest thing. Here's something that blows my mind, right?
He fell because of pride, essentially. He desired to be God, right? Not a servant of God. He wasn't happy being, like, you know, below him. He wanted to be the top of the food chain. So he was likely the highest of all angels. This blows my mind. He was the highest, the most beautiful of all God's creations, but he was not content in his position. Instead, Satan desired to be God, to essentially, ready, kick God off his throne and take over the role of the universe. God had other plans. You know, humans, we do this a lot. We decide, you know, I can't go to the game store and I can't just buy an Xbox. I have to have a copy of Modern Warfare 3, and then the Black Ops 2 is coming out, and I can get a new controller because my friends all have them and I need a headset. Right? Isn't that essentially what Satan did? Does that make any sense? He wanted more. He wanted to be God. So, I guess it's important to talk about how he fell from heaven. Well, God cast Satan out of heaven. Satan didn't fall from heaven. You know, it's more accurate to say that he was cast out of heaven. Okay, now we're back to what John said. Does anybody remember these guys? You like my picture? Does anybody know who that is? Does anybody tell me who that is? Who?
Adam and Eve.
Thank you. So, does anybody know? Does the pointer work on this, Bob?
Can I press the middle button?
Woo! Okay, who's that guy right there? Woo! In the form of a serpent. So, Adam and Eve were God's first humans, right? God told Adam and Eve that it was their job to take care of his creation. God blessed them, saying, "All this is for you. Help yourself to anything you like. And while you're at it, name those creatures over there when you get to it." So, the only restriction he gave them, don't touch that tree in the middle, right? The tree gives off the knowledge of good and evil. Woo. See the fruit? So, what did they do? What did humans do? We tend to mess everything up, right? No, I'm just kidding. They close the gates of heaven. Does anybody know why I brought up Adam and Eve? There's a theme through here. There's a theme through, you know, Satan wanted to be God. Well, Satan, actually, what blows my mind again is the devil got kicked out of heaven for what? Does anybody remember? What did he get kicked out of heaven for? For pride, wanting to be God. Interestingly enough, that is what he tempted Adam and Eve with. He said, "You can be like God. That's why I don't want you to. He doesn't want you to eat that fruit. Because you'll be just like him. You'll be higher than God." Right? So, where does salvation come into all this? Why did I bring all this up? Does anybody have any ideas? So much for being interactive, right? Nothing? Okay. Well, actually, Adam and Eve felt pretty bad about what they did. You know, they messed up all of humanity. They created original sin. They closed the gates of heaven. God felt pity on them. You know, our God's a God of second chances. And he said, you know what? He said, "I'll send a Savior." Does anybody know who God sent?
Jesus.
Thank you. What's that? Bob? Come on now, you're about to experience Jesus. Who you guys just said. That's who he sent. He sent Jesus. So, never fear, Jesus is here. Between Satan and humans, the whole world got pretty messed up. You know, like you get a ball of yarn, and a cat chases it all over the house, and then it becomes into a big mess. It's kind of like what the world came into. So that's where Jesus came into play. Jesus was sent to save us and reopen the gates of heaven, right? He was our salvation, right? Way back when, right? So Jesus conquered the pervasive power of sin and darkness when he resurrected. He rose on the third day. We are forgiven and we can start anew. Anybody ever heard of, okay, you guys did this when you were like 7-ish, 8? It was right before you had First Communion. Does anyone remember the sacrament?
Reconciliation.
Woo! Precisely. We can start over right now. Start over from your sins. And Jesus gives us the strength to renounce the devil, who now only has limited power since he fell. Okay, Jesus invites us into his kingdom. So God sent Jesus, and he ascended into heaven. Simple enough. So our redemption isn't just limited, all right? So I'm up here chatting about how Jesus is Jesus and all that horrible sin in the world. But really, it's not just all about that. It's also about peace and happiness and freedom from Satan and sin. Healing and power. Does that make any sense? You know, it's not just about sin. You're pretty happy. Okay, so for say someone had their house blown up in Hurricane Katrina, right? Right? Okay, the house is blown away. And so people come to save the house. But they come and say, oh, I would spend my resources and time and effort. I'll help rebuild your house. It's kind of like being a savior, right? It doesn't just have to be Jesus necessarily, does it? Maybe? See where I'm going with this? It doesn't just have to be about way back when. Oops. Do we need salvation in the world? Do we need it right now? In this modern day world, do we need it? Yes or no question? Do we? Why do we need it, though? There's a lot of chaos and turmoil in the world. And here's a few. Just a few. War, poverty, riots, racial conflicts, drug abuse, and many, many more. We need a modern-day savior, guys. What do you think? Well, I have something to tell you, right? You have a choice. You can do something about all of this. You have what's called free will, okay? You have so many choices to make in your life, right? Right? You have so many choices. Maybe they don't seem very big right now, but you make a big difference, right? Have you ever heard the saying, you know, I didn't know that little things were so important until I spent the night with a mosquito. Nobody get it? All right, I have a little story for you guys. Paul and Silas. All right, they're from the book of Acts. Does anybody know who Paul is? Nobody knows who Paul is. Does anyone know Paul?
Was Saul when he was converted to Paul?
Precisely. Okay, he was Saul before. Does anybody know what he did? Okay, I guess since you guys don't know who Saul is, I should stop. That's pretty close. Yeah, that was really good. So, Paul would send murderous threats, as she said, to Jesus' disciples. And on his way to Damascus, like she said, he was struck by light. And he was blinded. God said, why are you persecuting me? You know? He didn't regain his sight until he was baptized. So Paul and Silas, you know, I told you, they're crazy Christians. They were causing ruckus. They were going through, you know, they were preaching the good news and whatnot. Well, the Jews weren't very happy. They were like, this guy is a nut. We are taking him to the nuts. We are taking him to the jail. He does not deserve to be in our streets and causing ruckus, right? So they throw him in jail. The jailkeeper for the night, you know, Paul and Saul, I told you Paul and Silas, they were crazy. They were in there singing and having a good old time. So that the jailkeeper got so mad at them that he took restraints and strapped their feet, their like legs down to the floor and was like, don't move, you know. I'm putting you in the you're the most dangerous of all criminals, right? So he puts them in there. Well, guess what happens in the middle of the night? Paul and Silas, they're in there, they're just singing all around. The jailman says, you know what, they're restrained, all the rest of the prisoners are in there, they aren't causing a ruckus, I'm going to go sleep now. So he goes to sleep, and about midnight, boom, the jail is hit by an earthquake, right? And it's open. The shackles are gone from their feet. They can run away. They're free, right? But I told you before, Paul and Silas were dumb. They weren't very smart to me. I mean, hey, they could have ran right out the door. The jailman woke up and said, they're gone, they're gone. Oh, I better just kill myself now. I mean, they're gonna give me a painful death anyways. so I might as well just do it. So he draws the sword and he sits about here, you know? And Paul and Silas come, they're running, they go, they say, stop, what are you doing? We're all here. We didn't run away. We're supposed to be in there. The soldier was so overtook by awe that he said, men, what must I do to be saved? They said to him, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household. So they all went, so the jailkeeper took them home and this whole household was saved, right? That was their salvation. Paul and Silas, you can do that in the modern day world. Well, didn't want to be too long. So here's what I hope you learned. I hope you learned a little bit about what salvation was. The verse John 3:16, beating a dead horse. Where salvation originated from. Jesus' role in the whole scheme of things. You're affecting this world, that you have free will and you can do something about it. And a little bit about Paul and Silas. Oh, and you know how all that turmoil and chaos, I just wanted to remind you, Jesus will come again. He's still our salvation. He didn't go away just because he saved us once doesn't mean he's going to do it again. Whatever you do in life, don't miss the bus. No one knows the day or the time, so be careful, be ready, because Jesus is coming back. Thank you.